This morning's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. John is now going to bring us today's sermon. I just pray for you, John.
Sorry?
I just pray for you. Father God, we thank you for John and for the gift of your word. Help us as we listen to open our hearts and minds to hear you. Amen.
Amen. Right, are we on? Can we hear me? Good. That isn't an opportunity to move back to a place where you can't hear me. Okay. Yes, which is usually the thing when somebody says, can you hear me? He says, no, but I'm willing to move. Okay, yeah. So it's good to be with you this morning. As Jen said, I'm part of the Kairos sort of setup. I'm actually retired. I now look too young, but I'm actually retired. Okay, so I am a Church Army officer, and I'm aware that you're familiar with that type of person. Okay, so we're usually quite loud and quite visual and sort of, yeah, that's what you've got today. So what I would say is, you know, this is your captain speaking, strap in, because we're just about to take off, all right? So what I understand from talking with Jen and people from St. Andrews and Phil in general is that you're looking at this whole idea of renewal, of renewed strength, and that's why the Isaiah reading for me was appropriate, because that's what Isaiah is looking at, talking about, and indicating is possible. It's possible. And that's the thing I want you to understand. It's possible. Because for the most of us in our lives, we always feel, yes, it's possible, but for you, not me. Oh, yeah, you're, yeah, definitely you, but not me. And we tend to somehow project this possibility onto others. But why not you? And you've got to think about that. Why not you? And what I want to do today is to talk about this. And I can't really talk about it from your perspective because I don't know you. I've only been here once before when we had our 10-year anniversary as Kairos. And you generously let us use your building. It was lovely. I remember throwing tables out of that chair with Sean into the van at about 10 o'clock at night. But it's like, so I'm going to talk to you not predominantly about myself in the sense of, oh, look at me. But I'm going to talk to you from the perspective of over 30-odd years in ministry, what I've learnt about renewal. And it is a learning process, okay? And the thing about renewing or being restored or redeemed or, you know, resurrected is that calls for change. And we don't like change. We're all in favour of it, in favour of change, as long as it makes no difference, one bishop I heard say. We're all in favour of that, okay? But it costs you to change. It really does. Because it asks you something. It says, yeah, that's fine, but let's not stay with that. There's more. Like we sang there with Sam. There's got to be more than this. You bet your bottom dollar there is. You've just got to be brave enough to go for it and think it's there for me. And as I say, for the majority of us, we tend to think, nah, not me. Or worse still, we tend to take our faith like some sort of endowment policy that we've took out and at end of time, we're going to check in. Yeah, that's fine, but to be honest, you're missing out on so much now. There's a lot more now, and I'm coming to this. As I say, I've just retired after 30-odd years of church planting and creating church where there wasn't church. The last estate where we worked, there was no church, no building, nothing, and we had to create that, so that's what we did in Oxford. But I'll come to that. But change is something that is challenging and it's costly. And it reminds me of this wonderful story. Okay, forgive me because I tell stories all the time. And it's from way back in the day when culture really hadn't got going and the communities in which you and I live weren't quite at the cutting edge they are now with all the technology. They were a little bit more rural, a little bit more basic, a little bit more rustic. And this family decided to take a trip into the city. They'd never been there before. And so it was a massive experience and it was really mind-blowing. And so Dad took them in the truck and he's getting the cases out the back of the truck. And the mum and the daughter walk into this elaborate building of a hotel. And they're standing like this, they're looking around. And as they stood, this guy walks past with a stick. And he walks to what looks like a door and he presses a button and it pings and the door's open sideways, not outwards. And they're stood looking at this door going, what is this? And he goes in and disappears and the door's shut. And suddenly the doors ping again and out steps an amazing looking individual, a younger looking man. And the mum says to the daughter, go and fetch your dad quickly. Change is something that costs. Okay, and that's what I want to talk to you about. And that's what Isaiah's pointing to. But I want to just put some sort of caveats down that we need to understand. The first one I've obviously already crossed, the fact that we sometimes don't think it's for us. I don't know why we settle for second when it can be first. I'm hugely competitive. But I don't know why we second for second. But the other is this. You haven't got the capacity within you to do it yourself. It doesn't lie within you. You haven't got that ability. Just think a new year. How many gym cards have you got that are still in your wallet and you've never used them? How many pairs of trainers have you bought and you thought, oh, I'm just so going to do a 10K run? Yeah, right. You might make it to the fridge front settee, but that's as far as you've got. And it's like, no, it's not within you. And that's something we need to grasp. And Matthew picks that up in chapter 19 of his gospel. For man, this is impossible. But for God, nothing. And that's another absolute nothing is impossible. And that's for you and me to grasp. But not just to grasp and to know, but to receive and for it to become your and my reality. That's a reality that's out there, if you want it. And so that's one of the things. And the difficulty is, as I say, we tend to think that we can't step into that place. We can't step into that. And what we tend to do, churches are brilliant at this. We talk about this. We get together, don't we? And we think, oh, I tell you what, we need to renew ourselves. We need to revisit the vision. We need to have a day where we do stuff. And then what we all do when we come out of that day is we've all got more jobs than when we went into that day. We've all decided that we're going to run this group or be part of that committee. What Christians tend to do when we decide to renew something is get busy. We start taking more stuff on. We don't need to be busy. We need to believe. We need to take the truth that's been shared with us, spoken to us by the Son of God, Jesus, and believe it. And take the God at the centre of the faith, and the whole essence of what this building's about, at his word. His word is everlasting. His word is reliable. His word can be stood on. And his word will get you there. You won't, but he will. And he's for you and not against you. You've got to just take these things. And I guess for me, I've come to a point now where obviously I've got a lot more time. But I'm, well, I say I've got a lot more time. That made my wife, where am I? No, it's not. I've got a lot more time on my hands, but Ben is keeping me busy with the rest of the team. He doesn't like to see people sat about, doesn't Ben? So I am doing stuff, leading and speaking and such like. But the thing is, God is looking at you with a set of eyes that we don't quite understand. We were speaking about this the other day, and it's when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Just prior to that happening, that miracle of the 12 baskets being left at the end, he turns to the guys and says, you feed them. And they look at him. And they're trying to do it in human terms. But what he's saying is, you feed them. No, you can do this. You can feed them. When Peter got out of the boat and stood on the water, he said, if you are God, call me. He said, come. Because he believed and he understood that we can do this. Jesus looks at you with those eyes like, you can do this. You. Because I give you the ability to do this. I give you the enabling power to do this. Because my spirit resides in you. That's the thing that transforms this thing. That's the thing that changes it from what we understand and all the constraints and the complications and the number of myriad of things that stop us doing this. And Isaiah is pointing to this. And Isaiah is saying, you know, look, this is what can be your reality. And it all started with that amazing scene. And I love this phrase. It's from Mark's Gospel. And it's chapter 1 and verse 10. And it says, heaven was torn open. And the Father spoke over the Son and said, he's pleased with him, listen to him. But what it showed then for me was that heaven is open for business, and it still is. It didn't say it closed up after that. Didn't say it shut and withdrew and it took away from you. It's still open. God's still in business. Do you want to do business with God is the question. And you know, if you as a church are thinking, what does it mean for us to be renewed, restored, revived? What does that mean? It means taking to heart and not in the head the fact that God is with you, for you, and will give you that which you are desiring, you are looking for. And it takes some working out, and it takes some listening for. And if you want to read a good book, which I've just read of late, which is Pete Greig's, Hearing God, Listening to God, read it. Talks about the things that we're missing, and I've got a chance to read a little bit more because, as I say, I've been retired, I've got a bit more time. But it's just, you're thinking, oh, that's what that is. And you pass it by normally, or you ignore it, or you don't think it's for you. And it's God's just trying to get your attention. He's just trying to say, hey, heaven's still open. Shall we do business today? And so I want to encourage you today. As I say, I don't know. You don't know where you are. I don't know what faith sort of setting this is and such like. But I know that those who seek God will find him. Those who trust God will walk on water. Those who turn to God and believe in what he says in his word and by his spirit will know in their not only heart but their life experience and reality the renewing power of God. And don't we all need that? Yes. In these days when stuff's piling on and you're wondering, is there going to be any food on the shelves? I saw that in the news this morning. Is this whole thing with Putin going to go into another, you know, is he going to up his game? What's going to happen? We need to be the people who are consistent in a world that is constantly changing, where people will come to. This has been my experience. I used to work for British Gas. I used to earn a lot of money, but then I went to work for church. So now I know what it's like to be poor. And so I remember working with 70 or 80 blokes, and having a faith amongst 80, 90 blokes is like being, you know, it's like you stand out, shall I say. But hear me on this. Because you are renewed, we are restored, or in Pauline theology, new creations. When the fan stops in their lives, because there's so much fat stuff hitting it, they'll come to find you. They'll seek you out. And so I've had folks sat in my van with me saying, look, it's all gone pear-shaped, mate. I have no idea whether she's going to let me in when I go home. Can you pray for me? That's when you realise that this restored, renewed character that has nothing to do with you, it's all about him, and it's for him and about his kingdom and his name, is actually visible to others, and it has an effect and it draws people to it. And that's what we are. We are that light. He said in the seven times he said, I am in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world, but so are you. So in Starbeck, you be that light. You be that rock that people will come to when things don't work out in their lives and in the world and everything that's hand that they've tried and it doesn't work. You be that. It can be your reality. So Isaiah 40 and those three verses, they're an indicator to what the rest of the New Testament speaks about how we become that which God intended us to be, assumes that you're going to be if you believe in him. So today I just want to leave you with that encouragement. Okay, we are the light of the world. Take that as truth and take that in confidence into that world that doesn't know it and is in darkness. Okay, this is who we're here for. Not just this, that. That's what we're called to, because his only command was go. Go. So let's go in the knowledge and the strength that God is with us, not against us, and he is for us. And through that restored, redeemed thing, we will bring this hope that we have to the lost, the last, and the least. Amen. God bless you.